We invite you to take your copy of the Holy Scriptures and to turn to the New Testament book of Matthew, the first gospel, and we will be looking at chapter 24. You might remember that the first gospel of the New Testament, four of them altogether, was written by Matthew, and it was the first one that was written. Matthew 24, our scribe will put on the board. And interestingly, the first copy of the book of Matthew was written in Hebrew Aramaic, and later on it was translated and amplified into the Greek. And so it really was, as we are aware, the first book of the New Testament that was written, one of the Gospels. Matthew chapter 24, and we are looking at the first chapters, or the first verses, reading through the information that is found in this particular book. Now, you might remember that this was the discourse of our Lord upon the Mount of Olives. There is a parallel set of information found in one of the other Gospels. This is the one that gives more complete information in this particular circumstance. Now, you might also remember that over a period of time, beginning way back, I guess, 2 or 3 years ago, we have presented a lot of information on last day events at a monthly frequency or a little less. Then we entered into the flow of time beginning in the year 1620, going down through to the pivotal year 1798, then the rise of the Advent movement, and other significant information covered during these time periods. Now, topic number 7 in the flow of time, and we're looking at a focus of information that we will find in these scriptures and in the writings from the year approximately 1900 onwards. In the big print version of the Holy Scriptures, we begin to read, and you'll notice that in verse 4, that even before Jesus gave any information regarding the flow of time, he gave a warning. He presented a warning to the early believers back there. Take heed that no man deceive you. And in other words, if a person is not careful, or way back then was not careful, there could have been spurious information that was passed on from person to person, maybe from generation to generation. So take heed that no man deceive you, and your mind can be enlightened, your eyes can be enlightened, due to the fact that you have the copy of the Scriptures and you know what the Word of God is telling us in these things. There is a flow of time here, a little bit double flow of time, as far as history is concerned, but also as a double application regarding the destruction of the city of Jerusalem back there 2,000 years ago approximately, and an application of this information in a last day prophetic sequence. All right, many will come in my name, said the Lord, saying that I am Christ and will deceive many. Verse 6, you'll hear of wars and rumors of war all down during the Dark Ages, right to our present time and also on into the events of the future. And as a growing kid attending elementary school, I can remember the beginning of World War II. We were there in a country area in South Australia, part of the British Empire as it was in those days, and England and Germany were bristling, and at the first weekend in September 1939, the Great War began, the Second Great War, if we can put it that way. And but during the Dark Ages, there was war and rumors of war. Don't be troubled about these things, said the Lord. Yes, it will happen, but the end is not yet. And so general warfare is not a sign of the end of the world. Sometimes I have heard people say warfare, according to this verse, indicates the end of all things. But Jesus said, no, that is not true. He said, you'll hear of war, you'll hear of rumors of war. See, don't be troubled about these things. All these things must come to pass. But what? The end is not yet. So the Dark Ages and its warfare in continental Europe and sometimes elsewhere in the colonies and so on was not a sign of the events of the end. But what is? Verse 7. After the Dark Ages warfare, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. And you might remember that many moons ago, in a presentation from the Sacred Desk, I read some paragraphs from a book written by Billy Graham's daughter, Anne Graham Lotz. I think she must have been reading a lot of Adventist literature as well, because it was an exposition on Matthew 24. And it could have easily been written by an Adventist-informed writer as well. Nation shall rise against nation, World War I, kingdom against kingdom, World War II. There shall be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes. Famines, pestilences, and earthquakes. And as we are aware, we're living in the earthquake era. Just take the information that was presented in the preliminary presentation here from this platform for Sabbath School this morning. The era of the earthquake. You might remember that there are 10 plagues, or were 10 plagues in ancient Egypt. There were the first three plagues and the seven last plagues of ancient Egypt. In the last days, we have the seven last plagues. There are the first three plagues. I would suggest that our Lord is indicating some of these things here when he says there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes. Closure probation not yet occurred. These are signs that are taking place. After these things, all these are the beginning of sorrow. They will deliver you up to be afflicted, will kill you, be hated of all nations for my name's sake. This is beginning to be implemented, particularly in Muslim parts of the world, where there is animosity not only against fellow Muslims, but also against Christians, and Christians are losing their lives in these things. Many will be offended, betray one another, hate one another. False prophets will arise. 12 iniquity, love of many, shall wax cold. The morning version of the news, overnight murders, hideous events taking place right here in our own central areas. Iniquity is increasing, and love of many is waxing cold. He that will endure unto the end. This is a last day emphatic message. He that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. You have begun a good work. The Lord has begun a good work in you. You are baptized, or some of you younger people not yet baptized, but one day you will be, I know, because you want to follow the Lord. He that will endure, the same shall be saved. The gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world. Yes, Adventist World Radio. Yes, Hope TV channel. Yes, evangelistic work. Yes, magazines that are being distributed. And in fact, the new church plant in Bloomington, the Eastview congregation, which my wife and I like to attend. We have family leading out there in the school and the congregation. But they have given me a whole carton full of very splendid magazine format piece of literature that speaks about the Lord's Day. That is the day of the Lord, referring to end day events, end time events. And I'm using that information. They donated it to Adventist World Radio, and I'm sending this out to listeners on a basis in different parts of the world. I read a radio magazine published in Spain a few days ago, and they made reference there to the receipt of the cards that I had sent to them, and also the magazine format piece of literature, the Day of the Lord. They made reference to that in that radio magazine. I had a radio person here in the United States. They have other publications that they're presenting. I sent a copy to them, and the person heading up that organization wrote back and said they appreciate very much this piece of literature. That is the cooperation that the Eastview congregation has presented to Adventist World Radio on a gift basis this way. The gospel of the kingdom will be preached to the world, a witness, not everybody will be saved. When ye therefore shall see these things, the fulfillment of prophecy, know what is going to happen. Then there is a fleeing part. Then let them which be in Judea flee to the mountains. We read in our writings about fleeing to the mountains. And the big question I have here in Indiana is, what mountains do we flee to? I don't know, but the Lord will take his people. I remember as a student, a new Adventist at Avondale College, and this is, I think, took place even before my wife attended the college there, which is now at a university-level facility. A group of three or four of us young men went out into the country area nearby there to see if we could locate a cave that Ellen White had referred to in her writings, that students from that college will be accommodated in a cave there. Well, we knew we wouldn't find it, and so our fulfillment was declared. We didn't find it. We don't know where that cave is, but I guess it will be opened up to the students at Avondale in due course. So, okay, there's a fleeing. Verse 20, pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. In Pakistan, I was on an ingathering trip in one of the country cities associating with the country Adventist church there. I had accommodation in a multi-storied hotel, and Sabbath afternoon when I went back to the hotel, there was a parade of people that was marching slowly towards that direction. I asked somebody, what is this parade about? And they said they are planning to attack the hotel. A lot of people in Pakistan or at times get involved in this sort of activity. So I went to the roof and I saw a bamboo ladder there, and I decided that if I had to get out, then I would put the bamboo ladder across the intervening area, climb onto the other building, and then down and out. While I watched through the window as the parade was coming, along came the military police, and suddenly the parade disappeared, melted into thin nothingness. And so there was no attack on the hotel there. Would I flee in the winter? Yes, I would. Would I flee on the Sabbath day? Yes, if necessary. But obviously here, there is something tied up to this last day event information. There will be great tribulation, such as would not since the beginning of the world. Last evening, I was watching a TV program, Adventist TV, John Carter presenting information regarding this very statement of scripture here, and he referred to some of the things that were taking place in the Dark Ages. Except that time should be shortened, verse 22, no flesh should be saved. But the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. This is our area yet ahead of us. If any man will say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. The Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Jesus came 1925. The Bible says Jesus has not yet come. We read verse 24, there will arise false Christs and false prophets, and prophesying and giving many signs and wonders, the middle of the verse, they will show great signs and wonders, speaking in tongues and many things of this nature, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive whom? The very elect. God's Advent hoping, commandment-keeping, Sabbath-observing people, we need to be sure that our faith is based on the right information. Behold, said Jesus, I've told you before, but if they shall say to you, behold, he is in the desert, and that migratory trek of the Latter-day Saints who went from Nauvoo, Illinois, on the river there, and went over into the Utah Territory, which was a part of Mexico at the time when they arrived there. Subsequently, it became a part of the United States. It's stating here, if they say he is in the desert, go not forth. And those who were leading that migration, they said, when we get out there to the desert area, there Jesus will appear to us. I might add that I was worshiping with the Latter-day Saints before I became an Adventist. A study of the Bible two Bible studies was sufficient to turn me in a very different and important direction. I was grateful for those who shared the Bible information with me. Lightning coming out of the east, the Lord will return that way, shining even unto the west. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be, and encompassing the entire sky at the time of the second coming. Now, verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days, after the persecution of the Dark Ages, finishing 1798, but before the persecution, let's put it the other way around, immediately after the tribulation, that is, after the persecution has ended, but before the end of that time period, then the sun will be darkened. We've gone through these before. Moon will not give its light. Stars will fall from heaven. And the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. That one we have not yet seen, and it looks to me as though there will be events of a magnitude that will boggle the imagination. After that, the sign of the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven. Verse 31, the angels will be sent around. Verse 32, a parable regarding these things. Verse 36, but of that day and hour knoweth no man. At the time, only the heavens knew, and the Father only, not Jesus. But I am sure that in the subsequent 2,000 years, the information has been unfolded to the Lord Jesus, and he knows the exact date for the return of Christ in the clouds of heaven. Now, that is the flow of time. And there are many more things that we can present in the flow of time as the weeks and the months go by. But you will note that we have come to the end of the information that is listed in the Gospel of Matthew, an overview of what took place. And the destruction of the city of Jerusalem is a prefigurement, a prefiguring of the events that will take place in our world that are yet future. That is the first writing in that topic for today, in the flow of time. In the second reading, we turn to the book Desire of Ages. And the first reference is Desire of Ages 6-8. D.A. 6-8. You might remember that the Gospel of Matthew also contains a little bit of information regarding this discourse upon the Mount of Olives that Jesus presented long ago. And if you integrate the information in the Gospel of Mark with that which is in Matthew, it amplifies just a little some of this information. I now read the commentary information found in the book Desire of Ages. Christ's words in the discourse upon the Mount of Olives had been spoken in the hearing of a large number of people. But when he was alone, Peter, John, James, Andrew came to him as he sat upon the Mount of Olives. Yes, we sat upon the Mount of Olives one time, but we were on a comfortable modern taxi, opening the door and looking out over the city of Jerusalem. They came to Jesus and they said, in the Aramaic language, I'll read this to you in English, tell us, they said, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming, the end of the world? Jesus blended the description of the two great crises, leaving the disciples to study out the meaning for themselves. And this is what I encourage you people to do. You get the references on the board in the flow of time. Read them for yourself in the Bible. Read them for yourself in the spirit of prophecy, so that you know what you understand and you know what you believe in all of these matters. Jesus blended the description of the two great crises, leaving the disciples to study out the meaning for themselves. For more than 1,000 years, such persecution as the world had never known before was to come upon Christ's followers. Millions upon millions of his faithful witnesses were to be slain. Why would God, in his great love for the human race, his great love for humanity, permit millions upon millions of faithful believers to be exterminated? It happened. And we are told that that was one of the main reasons why so many other people joined the Christian movement. It's going to happen again. There is coming a series of events upon planet Earth that are yet ahead of us in an attempt to exterminate once more Christianity, a full plethora of Christianity in the events of the end. However, this next occasion will not be successful. Yes, there will be trouble. There will be problems, and there's enough in Muslim countries today, and there's coming more. But God's people will be saved ultimately through these things. Millions upon millions of his faithful witnesses were to be slain. Now, in unmistakable language, our Lord speaks of his second coming, and he gives a warning of dangers to precede his advent to the world. It's not just a happy, pleasant journey from now to the end. There is a preparation that we as God's people need to make, and there is a work to do in witnessing with which we are familiar. When Jesus referred to the destruction of Jerusalem, his prophetic words reached beyond that event to the final conflagration in that day when the Lord shall rise out of his place to punish this world for their iniquity, when the earth will disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. This entire discourse was given not for the disciples only, but for those who should live in the last scenes of this earth's history, you and me. I mentioned John Carter, the Australian evangelist living in California. He spoke about these things on TV last night, and he gave some of the details in graphic information, graphic delineation of what happened to some of God's people during these eras of the Dark Ages. When Jesus referred to the destruction of Jerusalem, his prophetic words reached beyond that event to the final conflagration in that day when the Lord will arise to punish the wicked. This entire discourse was given not for the disciples only, but for those who will live in the last scenes of this earth's history. Turning to the disciples, Jesus said, "Take heed that no man deceive you. Know what the Bible says. Know that you have a living connection with deity. Know that you are baptized and living in the things of faith. Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' will deceive many. This warning was given also to those who live in this age of the world. The same deceptions will be practiced again. You'll hear of war and rumors of war. Don't be troubled about these things, for nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Different places, famines, pestilences, earthquakes." From the destruction of Jerusalem, Jesus passed on rapidly to the greatest event, the coming of the Son of God in majesty and glory. A victory parade from eternity to planet Earth to rescue, to raise human beings unto eternity, and to present them in a victory parade on the return journey. Present them, us, to the universe. Jesus is coming with clouds and great glory. A multitude of shining angels will attend him. He will come to raise the dead and to change the living saints from glory to glory. We're not in glory today. There is a double change according to what the Bible says. And great controversy amplifies that also. We will be changed from one glory to another. He will come to honor those who have loved him and kept his commandments and to take them to himself. There will be a relinking of the family chain. We have all wept when some close relative has closed their eyes. When they have closed their eyes in faith, they will have eternity. If we close our eyes in faith, we also will have eternity. This is a significant and important aspect of information regarding the last day event presentation. So far, the first writing, Matthew 24. The second writing, Desire of Ages 8:28 or 6:28 and onwards. And now we look at the third writing, and this time, Testimonies to the Church. I have used this information before, 9T for the benefit of our scribe who writes very neatly on the board. I've used this information here before. I just reiterate what is presented here in picking up this topic. 9T, page 11. And that's a very significant number. 9-11, New York, and here on 9-11 in this book. The topic, the last crisis. Significant. We are living in the close of time, of the end. The fast fulfilling signs of the times declare that the coming of Christ is near at hand. The days in which we live are solemn and important. The Spirit of God is gradually being surely withdrawn from the earth. Yep, what's the news? Plagues and judgments are already falling upon the despisers of the grace of God. The calamities by land and sea, unsettled state of society, alarms of war are portentous. They forecast approaching events of the greatest magnitude. I turn the page. You've read this before. Regarding New York City, the large buildings there. I read there, 1912. Large buildings growing, being constructed in the city of New York. And when this was written, that skyscraper era was just beginning. 4 and 5 and 6 stories was a skyscraper back at this particular era. Not today. And in fact, there are skyscrapers elsewhere, such as in Kuala Lumpur, where our son is living, before he moves over to another part of the world. Twin towers there that apparently an aeroplane was attempting to destroy, in the same way as had been done in New York City, but the plane went out over the ocean instead. Abu Dhabi, Dubai, and those places there, they have massive buildings. Well, these buildings were growing. They were warranted to be fireproof. They were erected to glorify their owners and builders. Higher and still higher these buildings arose, and in them the most costly material was used. Those who were building these buildings were not asking themselves, how can we glorify God with the money we've got? The Lord was not in their thoughts. Page 13, and you've had this before, read this information before. The scene that next passed is this. Men looked up at the lofty and supposedly fireproof buildings, and they said, we're perfectly safe. Those brave firefighters that went into the building were and lost their lives. They were involved in this situation. But these buildings were consumed as if made of pitch. The fire engines could do nothing to stay the destruction. They just later found that out. The firemen were unable to operate the engines. But that's not the end of the story. Further on in the same page, those who hold the reins of government are not able to solve the problems of moral corruption. President Donald Trump made a masterly speech that I devoured the other evening. And he called attention to the crime in this country and that something needs to be done about it. Those who hold the reins of government are not able to solve the problems of moral corruption, poverty, pauperism, increasing crime. They are struggling in vain to place business operations on a more secure basis. This country owes $20 trillion to foreign countries, China in one of them. China is one of them. The internal debt of the population of this country is greater than $20 trillion. And 20 plus 20, even if it was no more than that, is more than the gross national product income of this country. There's got to be a collapse. There's got to be a collapse. The mathematicians and the financiers are already warning about these things. It says here that if men would give more heed to the teaching of God's word, they would find a solution of the problems that perplex them. It's interesting, but President Trump has three people who are Sabbath keepers. No, I suppose we can say four, because the doctor that, Violet, what's his name? Yeah, thank you. Ben Carson, Dr. Ben Carson and his wife. Dr. Carson was sworn in a few days ago into the United States government. He and his wife are Sabbath-keeping Seventh-day Adventists. We are aware that Donald Trump's daughter is a Sabbath keeper. She married a man who is a practicing Jew, who is an advisor in the government. It's interesting that there are Sabbath keepers so high in the government of this country at the present time. There are a lot of things that I can read on regarding these things. The firemen were unable to operate the engines. Those who hold the reins of government cannot overcome these things. Page 17, fearful tests and trials await the people of God, all the people of God upon this planet. The spirit of war at this stage is stirring the nations from one end of the earth to the other. But in the midst of the time of trouble that is coming, a time of trouble such as has not been seen since there was a nation, worse than anything this world has known previously. God's chosen people will stand unmoved. How come? How why? How do they know? Because they are students of Scripture and have an experience in salvation with the Lord Jesus Christ. God's chosen people will stand unmoved. Satan and his host cannot destroy them, for angels that excel in strength will protect them. Page 28, 9 Testimony, 9T28. In the visions of the night, an oppressive scene, I saw an immense ball of fire fall among some beautiful mansions, causing their instant destruction. Some people said, we knew that the judgments of God were coming upon the earth, but we did not know that they would come so soon. Others with agonized voices said, you knew, why didn't you tell us? We didn't know. Where is this massive explosion taking place? Not stated. But you know, when the New York information was written, the writer was in New York. When this statement was written, the writer was in California. Maybe it's the big city with beautiful mansions in California. That would be my guess. We'll have to wait and see what is going to happen. A massive, immense ball of fire fall among some beautiful mansions. I read on, page 19. In a special sense, Seventh-day Adventist Christians have been set in the world as watchmen and light bearers. To us has been entrusted the last warning for a perishing world. On us is shining wonderful light from the Word of God. The Holy Scriptures are the basis of our faith and our salvation, a message from the God of eternity. We have been given a work of the most solemn importance, the proclamation of the first, second, and third angels' messages. That's not new information, is it? You've known this for 150 years. Not you personally, but we as an organization. There is no other work of so great importance. We are to allow nothing else to absorb our attention in these matters. And so this is the information that is given to us in the writings and in the circumstances of these things this way. God has given us a message of faith and hope. God has given to us a privilege and opportunity of witnessing for him, and I'm pleased to note that you folk are doing your share of witnessing in these things in these various ways. We come to the end of the flow of time in this particular topic. We're in the 1900s, in the 2000s, and we're going further into the things of the future as time gives us the opportunity in these matters. Flow of time number 8 would take us on from here. We conclude.